Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Matt Fry.
Well, while they've been counting the votes, I've been counting the hours of sleep I've had in the last 7 days, and I think we get to a total of, I don't know, 15, perhaps. Even less sleep has been had by one Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning. I've just had 6 hours, so I'm slowly making up the deficit.
Six
yeah, I know. Pretty impressive.
God,
I know.
You.
Remarkable.
Lucky
huh?
you.
Yeah,
amazing.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for getting up after 6 hours to be here. This is brilliant. Okay, so let's bring us up to date where we are now in terms of the count and what we can expect later today.
Well, I think, first of all, the biggest news of the day is that Donald Trump has just won some assistance from Alexander Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, who has just described the presidential election as a travesty of democracy. And let's be honest, he would know. We're going to hear over the course of the next few hours, I think, what will be the definitive results in this election, and they're going to come in from Pennsylvania. We know that in Allegheny County, for example, they've got, I think, about 20,000 votes it is still to count, and those counts have been breaking: 80% for Joe Biden, 20% for Donald Trump. That's not a fix, as Donald Trump would suggest. It's because of the parts of Pennsylvania where those votes are coming in from. We know that military votes yesterday were coming in 3-1 in favor of Donald Trump in Pennsylvania, which gives you some 3-1 in favor of Joe Biden. Only 6 hours sleep, you see, in parts of Pennsylvania, which gives you some sense of Donald Trump's particular relationship with the military, at least those military figures who come from that particular state. I think we're continuing to head towards the moment where the television networks have the confidence they need to pronounce Joe Biden the president-elect. They've clearly been very cautious about making that call. The head of ABC's election unit last night said they wanted 99.5% certainty that they were making the right decision, and they wanted to make sure that these results were outside the margin where automatic recounts might be triggered. And they're in an invidious position. I mean, you know, the networks evolved over time as the organizations, along with the Associated Press, that kind of act as the arbiters of who's won the election in the minds of the public, because it takes so long here to finalize the ultimate result. That's not going to happen until the end of November, the middle of December. So they find themselves in this election in a very invidious position. It's such a combustible situation. 74 million people backed Joe Biden, 70 million backed Donald Trump. They know that this call has the potential to be to make at least 70 million people in the country deeply, deeply unhappy. But it is coming. And I think we heard Joe Biden last night capture the moment in two different ways. I mean, first of all, by hammering away at this idea that he has won 74 million votes, more than any presidential candidate in the history of the United States, and then hammering away on the issue of character and very cleverly pulling a line from Bob Dole's concession speech. When Bob Dole lost the election to Bill Clinton, he told Republicans, as I've said throughout this campaign, Bill Clinton may be my opponent, but he is not my enemy.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden used that precise cadence last night, echoing not just a Republican presidential candidate, but a candidate making the speech that Donald Trump still won't make, the graceful concession speech.
Now, given the fact that he won't probably make that speech, and very few people believe that he will, given on what he said recently, and given the fact that, you know, this is a very divided country, 70 million Americans voted for Trump, tempers have been inflamed for years now, do you, as an observer of this country, someone who lives here and knows the place well, do you expect all this to pass peacefully, or is there a danger that it won't?
The central proposition that Joe Biden has presented to Americans since he first decided to run in this race is that you can treat the Trump era as though it's aberrant. You can return to an atmosphere of bipartisanship. He can work, he says, with Republican leaders on Capitol Hill because he's known them all for so many years. He can call them up. They can get together for clubby lunches in the salons of Washington, D.C., and they can find a way of working things out in the interests of governing for all Americans. He said last night, politics is not about total unrelenting warfare. Politics is about trying to advance the country and making what Americans always refer to as a more perfect union here in the United States. The question for the next 4 years is whether that's realistic, given, first of all, the highly polarized nature of this society now. Barack Obama had very little luck reaching out across the aisle, and frankly, he made very few attempts to reach out across the aisle during 8 years in office. The Democrats were, at that point, as guilty of engaging in polarization as the Republicans. Donald Trump has taken polarization to the absolute max. And let's say Mitch McConnell ends up still being Senate Majority Leader, which is uncertain. Let's say the Republicans end up with a wafer-thin win in the Senate. He will go into conversations with President Joe Biden, knowing that Donald Trump is out there speaking for, even if you said a third of his vote, 24-odd million Americans. That's going to be a huge sword of Damocles hanging over the heads of the Republicans, because they know that Donald Trump doesn't think that Trumpism is over. He may not have another run in him, but Ivanka Trump definitely has got a run in her in 2024. And if they don't get what they want from the Republican Party, they can go third party, split that vote, take a third of the Republicans' vote, and create a situation where immediately the Democrats can look forward to a second term in the White House. So the Republicans on Capitol Hill aren't going to be free agents in this. And it's not clear to me that this is a society where you can put the genie back into the bottle. We've seen militia accused of trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan, a Democrat, in a bid to start a civil war in America. How you damp that down unless you've got the active support of Donald Trump and the people who whisper into the ears of the extremists here, I think is a massive problem.
I was about to say, have a peaceful Saturday, you know, relax, kick back, take it easy, you know, have an early cocktail. I'm not so sure anymore. I might be going for this paracetamol. Simon Marks, as ever, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much for coverage all week. It's been fantastic. And to you for calling in and for listening, and to all my great guests. It's been a truly instructive morning. I will now go to bed. Good night and good morning. At 4 o'clock, it's David Lammy here on LBC. Up next, Majid Nawaz.